I'm Mahendra Gupte. We are looking at Chapter 13, Supplier Management. Sources for outsourcing. Supplier sourcing is core to procurement success. Identify clear sourcing needs. Define product quantity and quality. Consider delivery timelines and specs. So when you are looking for outsourcing or whether you are looking for sources, remember you need to first be very clear as to what is your sourcing need. You need to define the product that you want, the quantity that you would want for a time period, maybe on a monthly basis for so many years, or for per month to be increased as and when time is correct, and the quality level of the product that you want to source. Supplier sourcing is core to procurement success. If you have the right source, your entire procurement process can be successful and absolutely painless. Otherwise, it's an everyday battle that you are going to fight. Identify clear sourcing needs. Once you identify clear sourcing needs in terms of product quantity and quality, you can be sure as to what you are demanding from your suppliers. Consider delivery timelines and the specifications of the product itself. Need identification. Understand exact procurement requirement. Define technical and functional specifications. Avoid supplier mismatch. Save time and cost. Understand what, as we understood, what is the product required? What is the quality level that is required? What is the quantity that you need? Understand exact procurement requirements. Define technical and functional specifications. You got to understand what are the raw material requirements, what are the process requirements, absolutely the total requirement of the product. What all kind of machines are required at each stage if the product has to go through various stages. Once you have all this information, you need to look and select suppliers who are absolutely matching or meet your requirements. A supplier mismatch is going to be extremely, extremely painful. You cannot have a situation where one supplier does two operations and then you move the product to another supplier to complete the balance operations. It would just be chaotic as well as uncontrollable at your end. You need to save time and cost by this outsourcing or sourcing, whichever it is that you are trying to get into. Procurement budget and framework. Estimate total procurement cost. Include sourcing and evaluation costs. Develop sourcing framework. Define supplier selection criteria. Most of this budget, procurement budget and framework happens at the time when you are getting into development of a new product or you're just starting off your business. Because for the next year, the previous year becomes your base to come up with your procurement budget and the framework. Estimate the total procurement cost in terms of quantities, in terms of the costs that we already covered in earlier chapters, hidden costs, indirect costs, indirect costs, etc. Include sourcing and evaluation costs. You are also going to evaluate suppliers on a regular basis, monitor their performance, and also support them whenever you feel there is a need to ensure that your supplies are protected. Develop sourcing framework. You should have a proper infrastructure in place. You have people who are trained and developed to do evaluation of suppliers, evaluation and capability discussions, and come up with proper supplier reports so that you are very clear when you are deciding the right supplier for your requirement. Define supplier selection criteria. From this framework, you are able to decide and come up with a selection criteria. For example, a supplier should not be more than 100 kilometers away. Second, you should have a transporter who is able to take care of these kind of supplies in terms of weight, in terms of components, in terms of vehicle fleet, etc. Finding potential suppliers, trade fairs and referrals, online directories and databases, supplier discovery software, issue request for information. How do you find potential suppliers? One is use your network to get referrals or visit trade fairs to get an insight as to what kind of suppliers. But however, visiting trade fairs is not the end of it all. You got to also look at visiting the supplier, checking his, evaluating his performance, his premises, his setup, infrastructure, understanding and talking to his customers, and then get a fair idea whether you want to go ahead with him or no. Online directories and databases, although available today, they are not verifiable. As a result, you could land up into a situation where the supplier is listed on a directory. However, he himself is getting things done from two different workshops or two different setups who are not listed or who do not know what it all means. Supplier discovery software. There are softwares available where you put in criteria for yourself in terms of material, in terms of machining, in terms of other specs that they ask you for, and you could get a list of suppliers, potential suppliers, who could meet your requirements. Now, these are softwares which could help you, but as I said, going and visiting your supplier, talking to his technical team, and getting the confidence that yes, this supplier is able to meet your requirements is the ultimate selection process. Issue request for information. When you are trying to just find suppliers, you could also float a RFI where you are asking for suppliers to share their information in terms of their capabilities, in their possibilities of capacity available, etc. Assessment of sources. Issue request for proposal. Clearly define scope and expectations. Compare proposals objectively. Use evaluation tables. So you could, now you go to the next stage where you have shortlisted a certain number of people, certain sources, and now you would like to select one or two of them. Now you want to get into the assessment of your sources. So you now issue a request for proposal where you give them the requirements of your components of your product and ask them to give you a proposal from their side as to how much they can supply in terms of quantity, in terms of the time duration, in terms of the lead time required for the first lot and all subsequent lots, the kind of quantities that they are able to scale up to, etc. Clearly define scope and expectations. You must define what kind of quality levels you need, what kind of supplies you need, what kind of timelines you need them to adhere to. Compare proposals when you receive them from two or three suppliers or whatever other shortlisted suppliers objectively in terms of putting a weightage and marking on each of the criteria that you have decided right in the beginning. You may use evaluation tables, that is putting the criteria for each of them with a weightage as to their importance and then coming up with a shortlist of one or two suppliers. Once you have decided two or three suppliers, the top three, top four, is when you start negotiations with suppliers. Now, realize this, that negotiations usually happen with equal suppliers because you are now just going to decide on who gives you better terms so that you are able to immediately take a decision. Price and payment terms, delivery schedules, service level agreements, and collaborative versus competitive approach. Price and payment terms is understood. It's more of the commercial part. Delivery schedules is deliveries twice a day, three times a day, once a week, twice a week, whatever is that you need. Of course, there has to be flexibility in delivery schedules in terms of starting off with once a week, then change further moving to twice a week and so on as your requirement. What is the service level agreement? What are the agreements that you are putting into place? What is the service level that you expect from them, etc. Especially happens for when you are outsourcing processes as service processes to outside suppliers. Now, whether the supplier is going to be collaborative or whether you are going to have a competitive approach, which means is your supplier already a supplier to your competitor and you are going to approach him, or you have already started business and now he would like to go and also offer the same services to your competitor. Now, you have got to take a call whether you want it to be a collaborative relationship or a competitive approach relationship. Signing the contracts, there would be a quality agreement, a statement of work, service level agreement, master service agreement, and non-disclosure agreement. Quality agreement is you have agreed on the base, on the minimum quality requirement for your supplies, and he keeps developing that minimum level to a much better level on a year-to-year basis, on a month-to-month basis, whatever is mutually agreed between the two of you. Statement of work is where you actually decide the number of operations or the processes that he follows, the payments for each of them, etc. Service level agreements, as I said, what is the service level that he will provide, whether he will provide deliveries to you at your premises, or are you supposed to collect material from him, will you communicate everyday schedules, or will you be using a Kanban process, whatever is that level of agreement that you have. Master service agreement is where you would have one service, one agreement in place for all the services that he provides you, irrespective of whether he's giving it to just one department or to you as different areas of the assembly line or other departments. Non-disclosure agreement is where you are binding the supplier of not sharing any information about your business with any of his competitors or anybody outside in the media or anywhere else, which also means that he may not be able to say that you are, that he is a supplier to you for what kind of components. Yes, he can say that, or you could also issue him a certificate saying that he is a strategic supplier for us in the for our requirements of certain products. That would be all. There could not be any other specific information that he can share with any third party. Review and monitor suppliers. Supplier performance review is a report card, objective and data driven, not fault finding but improvement focused. Whenever you want to get change, whenever you start with a supplier, you are always, the first stage is trying to develop a supplier relationship. Once you have gone through a supplier relationship for about a year, 2 years, you want to now develop it further to a supplier partnership. And this is where supplier performance review plays a major role. Now, this supplier performance review gives you an indication as to whether this supplier, particular supplier X, is worth spending the time and investing the resources with him, or you would like to do it with source Y. The reason is, he has also, while you may monitor, you may support him, there has to be a step forward from his side also in terms of improvement, in terms of enhancement, in terms of better supplies to you. Objectives and data driven. Whatever is the supplier performance that you review it on, first you set the parameters which are mutually agreed. So he is very clear on what basis is he going to be monitored. His performance is going to be monitored. And that has to be objective and data driven. You should be able to give him targets which are doable, and once they are done and they are consistent, you then upgrade them and tell them that, okay, now we go to the next step, you got to improve further. Now for that improvement, what is it that needs to be done? That is where you are not fault finding with him, but you are looking at improvements and how you can improve the entire setup, not only your supplies, but his entire manufacturing unit. Importance of reviews, improved relationships, risk management, cost and quality improvements, data-driven decisions. Improved relationships. When you are talking of improved relationships, unless you are transparent, there is going to be no improvement in any relationship. It happens with us in our private lives. It so happens in business also. If the party opposite realizes that you are not transparent, you are not going to have an improvement in the relationship. So when you are reviewing his performance, you need to be very transparent with him as to what went wrong, what could improve, and what needs to further be better. risk management, you will have to decide mutually how you are going to address the risk that comes up or may come up in the near future. For many a times, it could be founded on certain past experience, and there is a chance for the new supplier to prove you otherwise. Cost and quality improvements. Whenever you realize that there are certain parts which are not meeting quality requirements, it is pointless just calling up and telling him or stopping his supplies. What needs to be done is you got to understand that your production line has to work, has to keep running. As a result, you have to keep getting material from your supplier, which also implies that you need to depute engineers to his premises to ensure that they are able to set right whatever has gone wrong in his processes and that your supply quality is again restored. Data-driven decisions. Try and make all decisions that are required for improvements, for performance, for improving relationships on a basis of data. Do not go on hearsay or a gut feel, because things could go wrong and you would never know what has hit you. Metrics for supplier reviews, quality metrics. You would decide and talk of what are the rejection levels, what are the rework levels, what are the quantity levels that are being delivered. Delivery metrics. Was your delivery on time? Was it complete? Was it incomplete? Was it delayed on a regular basis? How many times did it get delayed? Try and find solutions. Just offering the metrics doesn't make sense. Cost and compliance metrics. Was the transportation cost incurred over the month or the given period as was budgeted, or was it high? If it was higher, was it initiated because of the supplier, or was it because you demanded something more? You will have to look at where there was a cost increase or decrease and compliance of the metrics. Innovation and collaboration. You have given a target to your supplier that he needs to innovate or make some improvements over a period of 6 months' time. Now, if he doesn't, you got to understand why it has not been done and how you can help him and collaborate with him to do a better improvement in the balanced period of time or the upcoming period of time. Sustainability and ESG metrics. Is he using any solar power? Is he using any electric power for vehicles, for deliveries, for his own operations? Is he saving on by using recycled material for packaging, etc.? Sustainability has a lot many options. You got to look at that and the ESG metrics. Strategic partnerships are long-term collaboration, trust and transparency, shared goals, and mutual growth. Now, this is the basis of any partnership. As I said earlier, from a supplier relationship, moving to partnership is the biggest change that you can make in your business. What does it change? It doesn't change you, but it further strengthens your business. It ensures that your business now is not going to fail in any way because of any part of your suppliers. The reason is that now they are looking at mutual growth rather than just being a supplier and a buyer relationship. The goals are being shared by both of you as to growing 10% every month to month in the market. That is moving to a situation where over a period of 5 years, you are actually the highest share in the market for your products. Trust, and this can only happen if there is trust and transparency in the relationship. Trust and transparency is brought about by actually bringing in transparency in terms of costs, in terms of payments, in terms of whatever other processes that are happening. Sharing information, sharing innovation, sharing technology between the two partners is what brings in transparency and trust. Long-term collaboration, all this is done only on the basis of a long-term collaboration, because mutual growth is only possible with long-term shared goals. Elements of a partnership: alignment of goals, communication and trust, defined roles, governance and conflict resolution. In fact, when you are wanting to look at a partnership, it is not only alignment of goals, which are already, as we understood earlier, but it is more of trying to look at how we are able to move to the next stage or the next step as an entire one company, irrespective of how many such partnerships you have with as many suppliers. If there are five suppliers, it is 5 plus 1, that is the OE and the five suppliers who are looking at an alignment of goals and moving towards the next step of the business. Communication and trust, there is no question of any communications being wrong or any gap in communication. The reason being, now we are talking about communication with the top people or the owners of these businesses, along with yourself as the owner or the CEO or the MD of your own business. Defined roles. You have decided, you have got five suppliers, you have decided their roles, you have defined their roles very clearly, and you are going to ensure that you are not going to look at alternate sources just because there is a small hiccup with one of them at one point of time. When you are talking of defined roles, communication and trust, we are also looking at one of your suppliers coming back to you and asking you for certain help or whatever he needs, an upgrade, or if you are wanting to meet a specific customer requirement which was not planned earlier because the customer has just come up, you would want to talk to all of them with the required communication and trust them that we would want support in terms of increasing volumes for a short period of time for a specific order, whatever is the requirement. Governance and conflict resolution. If you have a good partnership running, you do not have to bother of governance as well as conflict resolution. Governance in terms of your own processes, in terms of payments to your suppliers, in terms of the way they are treated, yes, that would be a little attention drawing. But other than that, there should not be anything with respect to conflict resolution. The reason being that if you call yourselves partners of progress, there cannot be a conflict that needs to be resolved. There should not be any conflict at all. Choosing the right partner, a strategic fit, cultural compatibility, capability and resources, risk and expectation assessment. When we are talking of choosing the right partner, and the first point that says as a strategic fit, are both you and your supplier looking at the long term, or is there a likelihood that your supplier's next generation is likely to come in and diversify or change the business totally? Then he may be a strategic fit right now in the short term. You may require to look at somebody else for the long term. You may want to slowly discard the current supplier and look at developing a new one. A supplier who is actually a strategic fit for the long term for your business. Cultural compatibility. Maybe there could be a situation where there is a difference in the cultural compatibility or difference in the cultures that both you and the supplier follow. He may be looking at everything short term, whereas you are looking at long term benefits. You are looking at long term development. He is into business just for a fast buck. Then there would be a difference in cultural compatibility between the two companies. Capability and resources, a lot many people have the habit of accepting and saying yes to everything without realizing that what is it that is required to actually deliver. Do you have the resources to deliver? Do you have the capability? You may have the resources, you may have the men, you may have the machine, the materials, but do you have the machines to actually deliver? All that needs to be considered whenever you are choosing the right partner. Risk and expectation assessment. Whenever you find a risk or you realize there is a risk in this process or in going ahead with selecting a partner, you need to first sit down, discuss with him, make him understand why is it that you are not going ahead with a partnership with him, and you would like to look at it in the long term at a later point of time if he overcomes the required expectations which are short as of date. Upgrading and development, improve supplier capabilities, enhance supply chain resilience, reduce costs and improve quality, encourage innovation. Upgrading and development is part of the development process from moving from a supplier relationship to a supplier partnership. The reason being that when you are trying to upgrade or improve supplier capabilities, what are you doing in turn? In turn, while you may be improving his capabilities, his output, his productivity, his efficiency, you are finally doing that because you want better products being delivered for you. Enhance supply chain resilience. The reason is it's very clear how you want to go about this. You have a perfect source. You develop a perfect source to ensure that whatever happens the world around, as long as my supplier keeps getting material, he is going to deliver products to me. Reduce costs and improve quality. You've got to work. This becomes a perpetual activity that works as a continuous improvement in-house. It also has to be developed at your supplier so that he as a partner keeps reducing costs and improving quality. Encourage innovation. Help him to get technology, help him to get people, help him to come up with new ideas so that you are able to incorporate them in your product without you spending the kind of time and energy and the resources required to actually innovate just small things for better appearance, better product performance. Self-certification. Supplier certification supports JIT, zero defect philosophy, reduced inspection and inventory, mutual trust and cost sharing. Usually when a supplier starts giving you supplies, you start with an incoming inspection and you set targets on that percentage of acceptance of material. The next stage is, let's say, just for example, we look at a 98% acceptance level. That means you are permitting 2% of rejection or 2% of defective supplies. Now you set a target with your supplier that this 2% has to become 0.1%, which means you will practically in a lot of 100 pieces not have even a single defective. If that is the case and that is what you are working on, that then he changes to a self-certified supplier. When he becomes a self-certified supplier, what you are going to do is change your audits or your inspection processes to audits, and these audits will be process audits, not product audits. Product audits may happen once a year, maybe max twice a year, or whenever something goes wrong or a process changes at the supplier's end. We are now working towards a zero defect philosophy where the objective of the entire process for all the processes at the supplier are to produce zero defects. You have reduced inspection and inventory. As a result, you are now getting JIT supplies. Mutual trust and cost sharing. The supplies are never counted. That is the mutual trust that you are encountering. The reason is that the final product, as many produced, means you already produced it with the component that your supplier gave you. So you don't need to actually count how many pieces were received. Cost sharing is where whatever changes or improvements in cost that you have, or whatever reduction in cost that your supplier is able to do, maybe you go to the extent as a partner, tell him that you enjoy the benefits for the first 6 months, after which you pass it on to us. Certification criteria. You may have certain criteria to certify a supplier to get into a self-certification process. You may want to do an audit of his processes through SPC, that is statistical process control usage, quality and delivery history. Go in and check what has been his rejection levels over a period of maybe a year, 2 years. Delivery history, over there was his delivery on time, not on time, how many times on time, etc. Does he have the technical capability to understand what is going wrong, or does he depends on too many other people who are beyond his control? How financially stable is he? Is he interested in growing the business? Is he interested in investing in the business? Because making profits is one part, investing that part of that profit into business is totally a different ballgame. Management commitment. How committed is he with respect to his own business, and what is it going to be in the near future? Just in time or JIT supplies, minimum inventory philosophy, materials arrive when needed, reduces waste and working capital, requires strong supplier coordination. A JIT supplies is the next stage after self-certification. When you have self-certified a supplier, which means he gives you the inspection reports of materials of products which he has supplied to you. Over a period of a year, 2 years is normally the breathing time that is required. Once you have audited supplies over a period of 18 months to 24 months, you then are likely to give him one or two products on JIT supply basis, which means you will hold inventory for maybe a shift's requirement or two shifts requirement depending on his location and his capabilities, and ask him to deliver online. Now, what happens here is normally how do you make it run? You have 2 days supplies with you or two shift supplies with you. So you keep recycling that material, and you give him a specific area where on a trolley or on a fixture that he delivers material, which is pre-counted with a tag as to how much quantity is inside that container or that fixture. You move the earlier one to the line so that it gets used correctly, gets circulated in terms of consumption, and you always have 2 days or two shift material with you. Now you run this for a period of 6 months and keep monitoring the deliveries that happen in terms of quality and quantity. Once you get more confidence on the fact that these supplies are perfectly in place, then you reduce that two shift stock that you are holding to one shift, and then bring it down to that level where you can actually expect multiple supplies from deliveries from the supplier on a regular basis. But that is where we say materials arrive when needed. Reduces waste and working capital. Now, to ensure that you are not short of material, that does not mean that your supplier starts holding inventory at his side. Then it's again waste that he is generating. Because tomorrow, if you have a change in your design, what is going to happen to that inventory? One. Second is, why is he investing so much material in raw material, so much finance in raw material and finished products for him when you are going to pay him on a 20-day or 30-day credit period? Who pays for that extra material that he has got? That is where it is going to affect his working capital. Requires strong supplier coordination. The Japanese have a very simple method. You do not need any supplier coordination if you are going to use Kanban cards. All that the rule that he follows as a supplier is, goes to a fixed place. He has a certain number of cards that are available there. He picks up the cards. That is the quantity that he needs to supply the next day, because each card clearly indicates how much components are required. Advantages of JIT: reduced inventory costs, improved cash flow, better quality, and faster production cycles. Now, reduced inventory cost is because you are not going to hold any buffer or safety stock at your end, nor are you going to let your supplier hold any excess inventory at his end. That is where you are going to reduce the inventory cost. With a reduction in inventory cost, there is going to be definitely an improved cash flow, because now money is not engaged or not used up just trying to make inventory available. You have got better quality, because as and when a quality issue comes up, there is immediate action that is taken to ensure that the quality is restored, and whatever is the safety stock or the stock in between consumption point to the quality issue problem is immediately handled. there are faster production cycles. This becomes a requirement to meet JIT supplies, because you could get delivery schedules just the previous day for delivery the next day. What are the challenges of JIT? Supplier dependence, supply chain disruptions, forecasting risks, and time pressure. Yes, supplier dependence is much higher whenever you have JIT supplies, but then we are talking of supplier partnerships. We are not talking of buyer-supplier relationships. Supply chain disruptions. This is something that both the companies, the buyer and the supplier, need to sit down and understand, or rather both the partners need to understand, how do you tackle any supply chain disruptions if known earlier or if happen at the last moment. Forecasting the risks. What are the forecasting risks that the company is taking? How can they improve their demand over a period of time, so that maybe using new technology, using AI, get better forecasts so that they are able to meet customer needs? What is the time pressure? Time becomes a very big factor as far as JIT supplies are concerned. Time in terms of deliveries, time in terms of the transportation time required from the factory of the supplier to the OE or wherever the material is to be supplied. So time pressure is of huge amount and needs to be addressed appropriately. To summarize, supplier management drives procurement success. Structured sourcing and assessment is critical. Performance reviews improve outcomes. Partnerships and development create value. JIT needs strong supplier integration. Supplier management drives procurement success. Definitely, it is not only the identification of the source, but right through in his product, in his life cycle, that is the supplier life cycle, that you need to have proper supplier management. Structured sourcing and assessment is critical. Whenever you are deciding the sources, you got to have a checklist and have an objective mind when you are accepting a supplier or discarding him. When you are comparing two suppliers, also you need to be objective in your assessment and your comparisons. Performance reviews improve outcomes. Once you have the supplier on board, you have to have performance reviews and share those outcomes and be transparent about them with your supplier, so that they are seen as improvement outcomes rather than fault finding. From the relationship that you develop, you further move on to becoming partners, and partnerships and development creates value. You are able to actually create value for each other, so that both of you keep progressing in business. The next stage would be going into JIT supplies. However, JIT needs strong supplier integration, and both of you have to be ready at the same time so that JIT supplies can be a success. Thank you.